Us. I'm your host, Omna Maru, and I've got my guest, lovely guest, Yako, with me. So we're going to begin. So hi, Yako.
Hello there. Thank you for having me. Honored to be here.
Glad you're here. So in this episode, we're going to be discussing the passion for tech and its importance in the world, especially from Yako's point of view, and also the idea that it's important to have side projects going on whilst you're at uni, and actually how this can be so beneficial to you as a person and as an individual. So before we begin, Yako, could you tell us a bit about who you are and about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm a business management student at King's College London, and I have some projects on the side. First and foremost, I'm the founder of Blockchain BH. That's a project in Brazil with a focus on blockchain technology. In London, I am currently a part of London Blockchain Labs in the labs division as a developer and a project manager. And in addition, I do sometimes work as a visiting scholar for IGTI in Brazil. So that's a little bit about me from a professional perspective, if there's anything from a personal perspective, we can touch into that later.
Nice, nice. So it sounds like you've got a lot going on right now, a lot that's really like tech related, which is really interesting and exciting. So I guess my first question to you would be like, what is your why? So you're into tech a lot, you're into tech, and what that could give us. But what is your why? What is the thing that wakes you up in the morning that you get excited to do?
My why in life is learning. I think our whys change over time, but that's something that I'm very much focused into right now, which is personal development, and that is in whatever area of life we're talking. I'm trying to surround myself with people that I can learn from and that are more advanced than me in certain areas, be that tech, be it that in my personal life. And I get up in the morning and I'm just hungry for knowledge, be it from a book, be it from class, be it from my own studies. It's very much focused on learning more, becoming more aware of what's going on, how I can impact that, right? So ultimately, the learning has to have a purpose, right? And to me, eventually, I hope to make an impact. I hope to be making an impact right now with what I'm doing, and that requires learning, which is a passion of mine. So that is my why. That's what gets me up in the morning. To work, to do whatever it is.
Nice, nice. I really love that. And I really love how, like, I guess that's why this podcast is called Student of Life, right? It's like the idea that there's always a lesson to be learned. There's always more that you can do to develop yourself and others around you. And I guess, so is this linked to your desire to learn and to grow? Is this linked to your kind of passion from tech, passion for tech?
Yeah, so when I have an interest in life, I guess I'm just trying to learn and be the best I can be within that interest, right? So when tech came along, or most importantly, blockchain is my biggest focus, that learning really drives me within that. So once I started to feel like I was plateauing with my knowledge of blockchain, then I said, look, I got to get into development. And that's how things evolved. So it's not necessarily what leads me to have a particular interest, but it's definitely what keeps me going with a particular interest, in this case, tech.
Nice. And in terms of, so you said your first kind of foot into tech was with blockchain. So could you tell us a bit more about how you learned that? Was it a smooth sailing process? Were there ups and downs? Or like, tell us a bit about that journey.
Not smooth at all. So I do not come from a tech background. As I've said, I'm studying business management, and I was never very tech savvy when I was growing up. You know, never too bad, but never too good either. And I got into blockchain, like most people, through cryptocurrencies, which is the common route. But then I realized that there's something much greater behind there. Mm-hmm. And I started to go deeper and deeper. My investor side took a back seat, and the technical person took the front seat. And I just tried to go as deep as I could, because I realized how this has a potential to impact a lot of processes in our lives for the better. Mm-hmm. The concepts of decentralization, peer-to-peer, networks are something that are very ingrained in my mentality nowadays. And I just went from there, and I stumbled upon a lot of obstacles. I started writing about it even when I didn't have that creative knowledge, and that was a big learning process. And then, like I said, when I felt like I was plateauing with knowledge, that's when I said, I need to go deeper. I need to learn more about the math. I need to learn more about the programming. And I just went deeper and deeper into it. And I still have a lot to learn. The more you learn, the more you realize that you're further away from your goal. But it's fine, because you can just keep going. And there's always something new.
No, that's amazing. And I think it, like, when you don't know about something and then you actually go into it, in the case of you, you didn't really know much about tech at the beginning, and then you went into it and it's like a whole new world has opened up, and that's just so exciting. But for our listeners who aren't into the know about tech, could you kind of explain what is, like, this idea of decentralization and peer-to-peer, the things that you say really, like, excite you and have the potential for huge things?
So nowadays, if we exclude distributed ledger technology, which is of which blockchain is a part of, there's no way for me and you to communicate and transfer any sort of data online without going through an intermediary. Mm-hmm. And that brings a lot of risks, that brings inefficiencies, and that allows for power to be centralized in a lot of areas, be that government or be that through big companies. So blockchain provides a way for us to kind of break free from that cycle. Mm-hmm. And we bring the trust out of decentralized arbitrators, and we bring them into code. Mm-hmm. And we bring them into mathematical proof. So at this point, if I want to trust the system, I don't have to trust who I'm interacting with, and I don't have to trust, be it, for example, my bank. I am trusting a system that is verifiable. Mm-hmm. And that opens up a lot of doors, which we didn't have before, especially in the peer-to-peer economy, which is now I can finally transact with information from me to you. Information, again, can be, for example, currency, but it can be any other sort of information without somebody having the power to touch or tamper or modify that information or manipulate that information in any sort of way. And that's very powerful, because most of our interactions nowadays are done online, and they are subject to a lot of things in the background that we're not necessarily aware of at all times.
Wow. I think that you said so much that I'm trying to, like, where do I go?
It's a difficult topic.
Yeah, but I think so, because for me, what I take from that, and personally, what the most exciting thing is about, like, decentralization and these new technologies, is the idea that actually the individual, reminding the individual how empowered they are, and not having to kind of rely on a centralized figure. So in terms of, like, right now, what kind of industries do you see being disrupted by this kind of idea of decentralization and using mathematical proof to verify people rather than having to go to one person or one centralized, I don't know, server to get verification?
I think the technology itself can automate a lot of processes and change a lot of different industries. Of course, banks and investment is something that we're seeing a lot more of, because cryptocurrencies are always in the news. But there's a lot in the background, document registration, governments, how governments operate, the relationship between the citizen and the governors or the regulators. We can finally have a more direct relationship with them. Maybe it's time for a new political system to come about. I don't know. Maybe it will allow us to do that. But definitely a lot of different areas. People are talking about it in health. People are talking about it in other tech processes, so implementing it together with, for example, artificial intelligence, or integrating that with Internet of Things, data processing, all kinds of processes that need to be private, anonymous, or transacted securely. So it integrates into a lot of areas. This was a very short, non-exhaustive list of areas, but there's a lot of fields that have potential to be disrupted or at least improved through the use of the technology.
And I guess the idea that the this it can improve things in such a huge way, is where the actual excitement comes from, isn't it? Because it's like there's kind of a new way of doing things that will soon all adapt, and that actually will be more in our favour than the way we do things right now. So I guess, like, if we bring it back to you and what you're doing right now, so, like, tell us about your current side projects. Like you mentioned, Blockchain BH, and you being part of London Blockchain Lab. So tell us what you're doing there, and like kind of what they are, and like the next steps.
So what I'm trying to do is do my part for building a decentralized future, and that has come in many forms. It started off through education. So the first thing that I ever did in the space was write articles, which I still do nowadays. Mm-hmm. And Blockchain BH is an education platform. We pivoted many times, and it goes beyond education in a lot of ways nowadays. But it's about bringing information in an accessible manner to the general public. My realization, having lived in Europe for a while, was that a lot of information was available here, a lot of information was available in English, but there wasn't much about it in Portuguese. And the problem with that is that here in Europe, maybe we actually need this technology less. So I was living in Finland, and people were quite ahead with blockchain technology simply because they're good at tech in Finland. Mm-hmm. But if you talk to an average person, they would ask you, well, why should I decentralize if my bank works fine, my government works fine, the companies are not abusing me? So it's difficult to see, right? But then if I think about Brazil, which is where I come from, that's my home country, we really need it. We have all these corruption scandals involving companies, involving governments, and that's where decentralization proves most powerful, right? Mm-hmm. Or at least people can realize. So that's why we had, for example, Bitcoin adoption in places like Venezuela, which is where the government has failed the people, and they have to resort to an alternative system. So, yeah, Blockchain BH is that. We do a lot of events. We do workshops. We publish research and articles, and we support projects. We have done a couple of social impact projects, which is something that interests me a lot. Helping, that we had a campaign called Warm Up Campaign for helping the homeless using cryptocurrency. So we got donations from all over the world.
Wow, that's
and
incredible.
Using the power of transparency of blockchains to show accountability for those donations, and to show that they actually went to who they were supposed to go to. And that's the education side of things. That's also what I do with IGTI. I help develop a program for MBA students to learn about blockchain. But I'm really interested in building, and that's where London Blockchain Labs has come in perfectly right now. That's my main focus here in London, and we are building applications that will be used to generate impact. So that's what we're working on right now. A lot of exciting things coming down the pipeline. Not so much I can talk about explicitly at this moment, but some interesting applications, and the focus there is building, right? Not just saying, talking about it. We're doing that enough. We've been talking about it, but now let's build it. Let's do something about this.
No, I really, really like that, and I really love your passion and the fact that you are like such a doer. It's like you said, it's not just about kind of talking. And like for anyone who's listening, who may be a university student or just in general, like, how do you do it? Because you're in first year of business management, your business management degree here at King's, but you're doing these like incredible things on the side. So how do you kind of balance it all, and why for you is it important not only to do your degree but have things on the side that actually maybe are bigger than your degree that you're working on?
So it's worth mentioning that the host can't talk too much about themselves, but you also have a lot of things on the side, so you definitely know about this, how the importance of this, right? And I'm drawing from your experience because I think you would agree with me that you can really develop as a person and also as a professional by having these things on the side, where you have responsibility, right? And you have accountability for what you're doing. University is a safe environment to try things, but it's also good to go out in the real world and do your own things. So you have a website, you now have a podcast, amazing things coming from your side. On my end, it's about prioritizing and managing my time effectively.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Social media, for example, takes a lot of our time nowadays. So cutting down on that is probably the best way to start. You'll get 2 more hours in your day. You realize that the day has more hours than you thought it did. And just one thing that I do is I find the opportunity cost of things that I'm doing. So if I'm going to go to this workshop, what is the opportunity cost? Oh, it takes me an hour to get there, an hour to come back, and it's 2 hours. How much am I going to learn? What would I do with those 4 hours otherwise, right? So it's about finding where you want to be. Have a couple of goals for yourself. They can be long-term. They can be short-term. Just have somewhat of a purpose. They change, but that's fine. As long as you're moving forward, right? So you're doing, you wake up and look, this is what I want to do, and what am I going to do today to achieve it? And with that, you find a way. It doesn't matter if you have meetings, if you have lectures, you make it work. But do sleep well. That's important. Don't be cutting too much on your sleep. Cut off social media before sleep.
No, I really agree with that. You're so right, because actually things like Instagram and Facebook and not even just social media, but things like Netflix and YouTube actually do take up a lot of our time, whether we realise it or not. And like you said, it just comes down to how much you want to do, and if you want to do it, you'll make it happen. So I guess my kind of sub question to that is, let me try and articulate this. How do you, when it does get overwhelming, because I'm sure like it is cool and it's fun, but when it does get overwhelming, how do you kind of rebalance and get back on track? For example, you're part of London Blockchain Labs, which is kind of a union of students within London who are interested in blockchain. So how does everyone, with everyone's kind of busy schedules, how do you practically make sure that you're not, that you are keeping on top of things?
So it's all about finding your own balance in life, and that's something that I still need to improve a lot on. That's something that people are always seeking, right? How do I balance personal life, professional life, and all these kinds of things? I'm a person that loves to go on sprints of work, and then once my goals are achieved, then I take some time off. That can be short-term goals, such that I go through a long day and then I take a time off at the end of the day. Or that can be, look, I'm working for 3 months and then I'm going to take a week off, right? So it's about finding your balance. That's what works for me. Some people like to mix and match so that they will be working and then they'll be relaxing in between. I like to go on these sprints where I'm very focused, and once I do what I need to do, then I can take my time off. But taking that time off is also important, you know, so to focus on yourself and relax as well and get your mind back to a mind state where you can work more effectively and clearly, and enjoy yourself as well. You know, that's important. So it's about finding a balance. I don't want to be one of those people that gives you advice on this, because it's so individual.
That's really true.
So there's no 10 steps to getting your balance. It's just like, look inside yourself and what's your balance, you know?
Yeah, ask yourself those questions. No, that's really good and very, very honest. And I guess, so what you mentioned is like finding your own balance, but like with things like social media and like our phones and things like that, it can be hard to find the balance if you're constantly checking or constantly trying to keep up to date with people. So like kind of going forward in like 2019, how do you kind of want to see tech progress? In that, I guess this is quite a leading question, but in the sense of, do you want to see like social media platforms arise that actually are more catered to the well-being of the individual, or us using tech that actually benefits us rather than making us so dependent on it? Or do you see anything in particular you want to happen?
I bounce back and forth with my positioning on tech. There's some things that I'm excited about. There's some things that I'm not so excited about. I think the monopoly of the social medias is going to continue, and it's going to grow, and that's dangerous, right? That's very dangerous. But on the other hand, I am excited for a lot of developments that we have. And tech, right now, of course, we're talking about blockchain, so we're thinking, you know, programming, we're thinking these things. But it also comes into, for example, health, right? So those kinds of developments are always exciting to be watching out for. Being a blockchain person, I'm very excited to see scalability proposals being put into action. We've been talking about that theme in blockchain for years now, and they seem to be coming around. Next year should be a breaking year for that. So that will be very interesting to see how we can actually implement blockchains in a way that's as efficient as the traditional systems that we have today. Developments in AI and machine learning are also exciting, but again, dangerous, and I am scared of that.
Okay,
we were talking a little bit about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, tell the listeners why you are. Give us the Spotify example.
Yeah, so Spotify never suggests a song wrong to me. Every song that Spotify suggests to me, it's a song that I like. And if they can figure that out about myself, what else can they figure out, right?
Yeah.
If we gather all this data that people have on us, which is Google, Facebook, Microsoft, Apple, Facebook, Netflix, all this data, there's a lot that can be done with it. And the research into machine learning and artificial intelligence is coming a lot from these companies. And therefore, it's dangerous because AI follows its creator, right? We haven't found a way to give AI consciousness yet, which is something that some people are working on, but they don't even know what is it in the brain that gives us
consciousness.
Yeah. What is it, right? But hence, since they don't have consciousness, they follow what the creator tells them to do. And we've already seen a couple of scandals regarding a lot of data in recent months, right? We had this year, was it this year? I think time goes so fast with the Facebook scandal, the Cambridge Analytica.
Yeah, I think it was earlier this year.
Yeah, so those kinds of things are just a sneak peek at what can happen when there's these large companies and these large centralizing agents processing a lot of data and applying very, very powerful algorithms on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, integration between artificial intelligence and blockchain might be the way to go. That might be something interesting. Also on this topic, Yuval Noah Harari is a good person to listen to.
Oh,
he's,
Sapiens.
Yeah, some interesting insights. He's published a couple of articles on this, but also Homo Deus, which is one of his books, talks about it. And so AI, very powerful, very interesting, fascinating topic, but very dangerous. Mm. So how is that going to evolve? That's very interesting to see 2019, 2020, whenever it is. It's happening right now.
Yeah. So what are some of the ways you're going to, like, I guess, shield yourself in 2019 from these kind of developments that are basically inevitable?
So this question came, and this is, you don't know this, but like this question came at the exact right time.
Really?
So okay. 2 weeks ago, I've gotten off of pretty much all social media, and
so
I'm trying to.
So by that you mean Instagram?
So I have, right now, I'm not using Instagram, Facebook, and I haven't had Snapchat for like a long time.
Yeah.
I am on LinkedIn. Is that a social media? I don't know. So I'm trying to cut down on as many services that gather a lot of my data. Like I said, for example, I'm on Spotify, but that's because I have a free month. So, I'm using a search engine called DuckDuckGo. That
okay.
might sound very funny for people, but they don't gather
below.
Data. Yeah, I'm using a browser called Brave, and I have been using private browsing with Tor. For some stuff, I've disabled location on my maps. I sound like a person that's scared of the world. I'm gonna put my like tinfoil hat,
literally.
Right, and like start like conspiracy theories. But I'm trying to see how I started an email account that's like encrypted, and I send encrypted emails that can also self-destruct and need passwords.
I didn't even know that existed. Wow.
So I'm seeing like how difficult is it for me to diverge from these platforms, right? And I'm testing it out, right? How well can I live and how difficult is it for me to live without these platforms, which are dominant nowadays? So I have Gmail, I have Facebook, these things, right? So how well can I live without them?
Yeah.
And if I figure out that I can, then that's a good sign because there's alternatives coming up, which we didn't have like 2-3 years ago, all these things. So I'm trying that out, and that's my attempt and maybe contribution. In terms of contribution, then I hope that my endeavors with blockchain will help in that sense.
Yeah, but
I'm trying to apply it to my personal life. So as soon as I realize, look, I don't want to support this big data machine that is coordinating us, then I'm trying it out. So,
well,
tinfoil hat.
Yeah. Well, no, good on you for actually like trying it, because I guess you will never know until you do try it. But definitely keep me updated, because I'm definitely going to link some of
the
websites Yaka has mentioned down below, because maybe some of you are interested. But it's definitely an interesting kind of perspective, and it's worth pursuing for sure. And I guess this actually really leads nicely onto the next question. So, like, personally, you from our conversations, or earlier conversation, you seem to be a very like reflective person, which is a really good quality to have. So how do you like practically live in the moment?
So for me, it's about, I mean, the social media thing helps, right? So James was talking about how he sits down with people and he puts his phone face down on the table.
Yeah, from episode one. Yeah.
Yeah. So episode one, James was talking about that, and that's very interesting, right? Because nowadays you go out and you'll be talking to people and they're just on their phones, and that's really the opposite of living in the moment, right?
Mm.
But then comes the question of how do you conciliate long-term goals with living in the moment, right? So how can I have big ambitions and I can be looking into the future and constantly trying to get to a place in the future, but also live in the moment?
Mm-mm.
And I think it's reserving time and a mindset and mind space for spontaneous things. So let's say this is what I have to do today. As long as that's accomplished, Let the day take you wherever it takes after that, you know? And take some days to just follow and see where life takes you and be open to experiences. Because you never know when things are going to come about that you weren't expecting. So let's say today, you have a lecture to go to, and then you have a friend to call, and then you have this work thing that you got to get done. You got all of that done, you know, now have a spontaneous time. If your friend invites you out for dinner, then you can go. So it's balancing long-term goals and making sure you're working towards them, but leaving that space for spontaneous things to happen and being open to those experiences, rather than just, that's at least my mindset of not being super, super methodical with everything that I do. I like to work dynamically as well. So let's say even if I'm working 10 hours a day, at least I can work those hours in that time that I want to work where I want to work them. So that's a good way of keeping a balance as well.
No, I was like nodding throughout that whole thing, because that's such an amazing answer. And I guess it's like such a good balance of actually getting things done, but actually, like you said, enjoying the moment and like actually letting the moment take you where it does once you've got everything you need to get kind of done. But yeah, that's really, really good advice. I'm definitely like gonna keep that in mind for myself. And then I guess our last and final question is, so if you could change the world tomorrow, what would look different?
So I want to bring back again something that James was talking about, but I want to maybe portray it differently or explain it differently.
Yeah.
So James in episode one was talking about giving more opportunities to people and accessibility to opportunities, because right now that's probably the biggest inequality we have, right? Mm-hmm. We talk about inequality in income and these things, but the access to opportunities is, there's a big gap.
Yeah, for sure.
And there's a lot of potential that is lost with that.
Mm-hmm.
If I put that in my own words, it would be about letting people choose their pain. And that sounds maybe very weird right now, but the whole point is that you're going to go through pain in life, right? If you're a person that's trying to get more muscular or lift more at the gym, you're going to go to the gym, you're going to go through pain for that goal. But that is a pain that you chose.
Mm.
And the reason you can choose that pain is because you are free from pains that you cannot choose. And when I say that, for example, if you are a person who is starving, then that is the need that you have to fulfill. There's no way to choose your pain. That's the pain you were assigned, and hence that's the pain you have to live with. But if we manage to help people get away from these pains that are external and that are not chosen. Of course, this is a very idealistic idea, right? But that's a very idealistic question.
Yeah, of course.
But then people can choose the pain that they want to undertake, which is, it can be going through school of medicine, or it can be going to the gym, or it can be starting your own company. These things are going to be painful, but it's a pain that you chose for a reason. But now, if you cannot choose a pain for a reason, that means you're subject to what you have. And that's, you know, a position where we have people who are very privileged and people who are not. And that creates a big gap. That would be very nice if we could close that as much as possible, giving more opportunities to people, like James said.
Yeah, you're actually spot on. You're really, really spot on, because that's something that we take for granted a lot of times, is the idea that we have access to so much, and because of that we can basically choose what we want to do, but not everyone has access to opportunities.
Correct, yeah.
And I guess once you have those options, it just opens, I guess, more pains up to you. But then it's like you said, you're in control of which pain you want to choose. And that's a really great question to end on, a great answer to end on. And before we go, I'd like to say thank you so much, Jaco.
Thank you. This was amazing. We had a 1-hour conversation before this, which was as insightful. So this was amazing time. I'm inspired by what you do with this podcast. Again, I love the name. This was said off air, but Student of Life, perfect. I love the fact that you're bringing people that are still trying to make it, like we talked about a little bit. The people that are coming here are not at the end of their career or something like that. Look, it's where do you want to be?
Yeah.
And that's interesting, because 5 years from now, we can all look back at our answers in these podcasts and say, where did I say I wanted to be? What did I say I was doing again? You hold yourself accountable.
Yeah, so, so true.
But yes, Student of Life podcast, amazing. You have been inspiring me for the short amount of time we've met. So this was an honor. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's such kind words, such kind words. I'm blushing. If only I could blush. thank you so much, Jaco. Thank you guys for listening. I'm going to put all the links Jaco's mentioned down below, including his Medium, Blockchain VH. If you're interested, you can contact him on LinkedIn. Very, very passionate. I like to make connections, so definitely reach out. And yeah, thank you again.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yes, thank you.